Log Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
There is nothing wrong with your computer.
There is nothing wrong with your audio
or your video.
We are controlling transmission
for the next hour,
and we will control all that is here. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the all of mystery,
which reaches from the inner mind into the shadows of the Night Zone.
Good evening, everybody. Glad you could join us tonight in the Night Zone. This is, of course, a live event. I'm Colin Knight. You are in the Night Zone.
Please don't say it.
Intended for open-minded audiences. All information provided by guests or speaker are the ideas or realities of that person or organization. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality and valued information, Night Zone or its operators do not accept any liability for guest opinions or statements made. And as a valued listener, we remind you always keep your mentor.
Gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants, mon ami.
Welcome to another edition of the Night Zone. Tonight, we shall be taking a look back at a few of our guests over the last month or so. Phone lines are open as usual. If you get the urge, feel free to call.
347-324-3287.
Before we get to our guest review, let's look at some relevant news stories breaking around the world. Several stories breaking as we go to air. The most horrific is, of course, Typhoon Morakot and Tropical Storm Ethel. Mother Nature is wreaking vengeance upon Taiwan, or is it weather manipulation? Taiwan helicopters dropped rescuers into a village in southern Taiwan on Tuesday to search for victims of a mudslide that may have buried up to 600 people after a typhoon hit the island. The death toll since Typhoon Morakot and Tropical Storm Ethel climbed to more than 90, including 50 in Taiwan. Heavy rain in China toppled more than 10,000 dwellings, and torrential rain set off landslides across Taiwan, causing rivers to burst their banks and flooding farmland. A six-story hotel was washed away, as were many homes. Morakot left 23 dead in the Philippines and 8 dead in China. 13 people have died in Japan from the effects of Ethel, and the storms have caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damage. The typhoon had started to weaken over China's coastal regions after battering Taiwan. It caused floods in Taiwan's densely populated south and farm-related losses on the island. island were estimated at more than $213 million. In China, rains caused damage estimated at $1.42 billion. In Japan, Etau approached the island's central area and Tokyo hours after a 6.5 magnitude earthquake, which disrupted transport and shut down nuclear power plants for safety checks. Japan's weather agency warned of possible landslides and flooding as the quake followed heavy rain. The internet is abuzz with two theories regarding the last few years of fierce storms, weather manipulation and global warming. But there are also those who feel the manipulation is more celestial gravity pulls from elsewhere. Over the next few months, we shall be exploring all of those possibilities with some very renowned guests. So stay tuned for that. From Canadian Press, a fourth person in British Columbia has died from the H1N1 virus, pushing the total number of swine flu deaths in Canada to 65. The Ministry of Health Services has released no details about the BC death, except to confirm the victim, like the previous three, had underlying medical conditions. The ministry release says death occurred between August the 4th and August the 10th in Vancouver, in the coastal health region, which stretches from the central BC coast south to Richmond, British Columbia. The BC Centre for Disease Control says 676 people have tested positive for the H1N1 flu virus in the province, an increase of 42 cases since last week's update. Officials say the majority of BC cases have been mild, and tracking of these cases shows swine flu is spreading across the province in the same pattern as regular seasonal flu.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Your host, Colin Knight.
And watching the news coverage of Typhoon Morakot and the devastation it is causing in its wake, it makes one realize how small of a role we as humans play in the grand scheme of things. I read somewhere that Mother Earth, being a living, breathing entity to some, will take whatever corrective actions it must take to shake the parasite off its skin. Now, I'm presuming that the parasite is us. Global warming? Are we responsible for the weather pattern changes, either purposely or as a result of our carbon fuel greed? We received an email some time ago when an author is claiming that oil is Mother Earth's personal lubricant, and removing it in such vast quantities is making the tectonic plates stick and grind more than Mother Earth was designed to do. Interesting concept, don't you think?
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. In the shadows of the Night Zone, we do invite your call, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Over the last month, we have had some fantastic guests. Kicking us off are our friends from the HPI, Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from the Haunted Paranormal International is with us, headquartered in California. Shannon, the owner of HPI, and Paul Dale Roberts, the general manager, our Pied Piper of the paranormal. Shannon, so Penn and Teller, they want to take you down to Cancun. They send a film crew with you. You get open range to do whatever you do for the paranormal.
We sure did. They basically kind of led us up the investigation, and we told them, you know, what we think we should do, and they, you know, obviously set up how they wanted to do it. And we told them UFOs are connected to the temples, the Mayan temples, and we thought, you know, hey, let's do a UFO investigation. So we set up an quote-unquote all-night UFO investigation that lasted roughly 12 minutes, and it's the beauty of reality television. It can make it look like it's all night long, but really we were only out there for 12 minutes. And we also did... EVPs inside of the pyramid, and we got an incredible EVP where Paul and I were sitting there trying to, you know, on camera, speak to whatever might be there, and I actually had picked up some Mayan phrases from the princess. And I started speaking in Mayan, and I got a response back in what we think is Mayan language.
Wow.
It was really incredible.
As you say, usually from what I've seen about the Penn and Teller show, it's all about trashing the story.
You bet, yeah. They want to tell everybody that, you know, that the end of the world is BS. And in all actuality, Paul and I pretty much agree. But since we knew so much about it, they thought, you know, hey, these are the two best ones to keep down there. Let's see if we can make them say, we believe in the prophecy of 2012 and we're all going to die.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to get out of us the whole trip. And we never once uttered those words. Now, if they splice it together that we do, hey, see it's television. But yeah, Paul and I were pretty, we were laughing to ourselves. And we actually shot our own video called Behind the Scenes 2012, The Real Truth.
Right.
And we're going to put that out just before the show airs and let people make their own assumptions on how, you know, how it's going to go.
Are you going to put that up on the HPI website?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll definitely send that to you.
Okay, because I definitely want to get a copy of that and have a look at you guys in the background, because
gotcha.
People do not realize that with television, how things are condensed and how much time is involved for that 12 minutes.
Well, what's incredible is they went to Belgium prior to interviewing us, right. And they interviewed a gentleman over there who truly believes that the end of the world is going to happen. And then they took Paul and I down to Chichen Itza and Cancun and Exelon and, you know, had us kind of do the investigation part. So the show is 30 minutes long, so I'd like to see how they're going to condense 5 days worth of film into that small amount of time. It's
right.
Really interesting.
So what's next on the agenda? What have you guys got up on your list of things to do over the next couple of months?
Well, we just wrapped a large feature article in a magazine out of London called Dog Today, where we did investigations with our animals. And the Animal Planet kind of picked up on that. And so now we are working with them on a documentary out here in the called the Kaipei Valley. And there's a wonderful gentleman that we met that lives on a huge farm, just acres and acres and acres of wildlife, and it's amazing. And so we went out there, we did some filming, and Animal Planet's going to come out and go back out there with us and take the dogs, and so that's kind of on our horizon.
Good.
And then we are also working with the Monster Quest. Going to be doing a few episodes that he's in with them.
Just keep sending the information out there, because it's the information that counts, Shannon. Doesn't matter what vehicle we use to get it out there.
Got it.
You know, we've got to get these people to understand that something is happening. We don't know what it is, but something out there is happening. There is a change in the mindset of the world, I think.
I have to agree with you on that.
I think once we get through this violent period, I do believe, as John Hogue has said from Hogue Prophecies,
the Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religion of the Piscine Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as usual, I have a lot of fun with our friend Paul Dale Roberts, as the other part of the team of Shannon McKay and Paul Dale Roberts. He carries many names here in the Night Zone, the Pied Piper of the Paranormal and the James Bond of Bumps in the Night. But there is only one Paul Dale Roberts. They keep coming up with titles. Well, I have a title for Paul. Paul Dale Roberts, our Pied Piper of the Paranormal. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Colin. I like your old title, the James Bond of the Paranormal. I want that one. I want that one back.
So tell me, Paul, the 4th of July, 2009, you go to a wedding, you and Miss Macabre McCabe, and you go to this wedding at St. Joseph Church, and you decide before you do your bit, because Shannon's a wedding planner and the like, you're going to investigate the St. Joseph Church.
Right, and what's kind of amazing is that the St. Joseph Church is in Clarksburg, and Clarksburg has a lot of ghostly stories. There's even a story about a woman who actually is carrying a skull, and there's like these fishermen who actually saw this dirty, like hobo-type person that came up to their campfire, and then they thought it was kind of odd, and he was, like, looking at them, and he asked them, I think, for a cigarette or something like that. But when they got into their car, he was in the middle of the street, and they thought that was really odd. And they turned around because they thought he was dangerous, and when they looked back, he was gone.
Uh-oh.
And that was right along Clarksburg around Sacramento River. So there's all kinds of really weird stories. So I'm thinking, well, if Clarksburg has all these ghostly stories that you can actually find on the Internet, well, wouldn't that mean that the St. Joseph Church is also probably haunted? So I said, no, Shannon, I said, let's not waste this, you know. I mean, here we got two top ghost hunters here, you know, we're doing a wedding. I said, you know, let's investigate it. You know, and so we did. We did it in the morning, and she tried many times to get some EVPs, and then it looked like we got something. And then later on, after the wedding, we actually went back, and the father let us in, and he knew who we were, you know, who we were, and everything like that. So, and we got a pretty good EVP out of there. So that was kind of interesting. It sounds like the one from Clarksburg, it sounds like a man's conversation. It sounds like he says, bless the children or something like that. It almost sounds like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would kind of get the hairs on your arms up a little bit, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we got this really interesting EVP out of Cape too. So she'll play that with you, for you in a minute here. One thing, Colin, is really interesting is that we've been getting contacts from many, many TV producers. I guess are interested in our investigations and everything else. But we've gotten contact by Cartoon Network, True TV, A&E, History Channel's UFO Hunters, History Channel's Monster Quest, Animal Planet. Yes, Animal Planet. Yeah, because they found out that Shannon and myself, we utilize the dogs in our investigations.
Right.
So she utilizes Rocket the Poodle. I utilize Hypie, the Corky, and Pika, the Jack Russell Terrier. And we've actually been successful in using dogs.
Interesting. Well, with all of this media hype, I mean, you know, we're going to have to get you a Hollywood mansion or something, a mansion of the stars. You ever thought of living at Neverland?
You know, I would just love to investigate Neverland, you know. I mean, especially with Michael Jackson's demise. I mean, he probably has a lot of unfinished business. So when a person dies with unfinished business, they usually come back.
That's true.
And he had a lot of things going on. I mean, that's why he had insomnia. I mean, he was constantly thinking of this that he wanted to do, and making that comeback and doing that concert and everything else. So he's probably very much a restless spirit.
The Pied Piper of the Paranormal, the James Bond that bumps in the night. There is only one Paul Dale Roberts. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts will be back with us at the end of the month with updates on various investigations. And from the reports that I've seen coming out of the HPI camp, I dare say that we have quite a bit to check in with Paul Dale Roberts and Shannon McCabe. When we come back, David Baker, our psychic medium in the Night Zone, and we'll be listening to what David had to say to a couple of real good call-in guests.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Matt.
And I see we do have a 207 number live up on the board. And 207, your first name and geographical location, please.
Yes, my name is John.
Welcome to the Night Zone.
Hello.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing good. Say again?
Where are you from?
I'm from Brunswick, Maine. I wanted to ask a question, and I wanted to pass along an introduction to a website, my website, if that's possible. I don't know if it's considered a solicitation or not, but we just got the new site online I'd say no more than a month and a half ago. I wanted to ask if you felt that the New World Order had anything to do with extraterrestrial visitation. And that extraterrestrial visitation was involved with the New World Order, and as to if it was planned that officiated contact will be made.
Wow. Are you sure you're not a lawyer for the government? Because that was brilliant. Do I believe that the Illuminati and the New World Order have an extraterrestrial component? Possibly. I believe that there are linkages way past knowledge of normal man, looking at such issues as the ancient Masons, were much different than the current Masons. And
yes.
I do believe that there could be nefarious groups out there preparing to do their best to take over the world, yes. And as for doing a shout-out on Paranormal 51, by all means, you make
yes.
it so.
Yes,
I'm throughout your website.
Thank you for the compliment. Can I still ask more questions?
Absolutely. One more question, and then we have to get moving along. But go ahead.
Okay. Would you like me to share an experience, or shall I ask a question? It all depends on you. It all comes down to what you want.
Entirely which way you want to throw this one, sir.
Okay. I'll share an experience that I had when I was in West Texas. I was driving on the highway, and it was midsummer. It was really hot, it was in 2005. I was driving along the highway. There was really green grass on both sides of the road. It was pretty. It was a nice day. There was hardly a cloud in the sky, and I was driving along with the passenger side window open.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a clicking, chirping sound, similar to what they show on District 9.
Okay, so like a click clacking.
Yes.
Like the snapping of bird beaks.
Similar to a bullfrog chirping.
Mm-hmm.
And it got louder and louder and louder, and then it sort of plateaued. It sort of stayed at a certain volume, and I was like telling myself, "Oh my God, I think I've experienced that before," because when I was 14 years old, driving home from swim practice with my mom. My mom was driving. And I had the passenger side window open. It was the middle of winter. And she was driving along. She was she had the heat on full blast because she got cold very easy at the time. And I heard the same chirping, clicking sound that I heard when I was in West Texas. So I thought to myself, oh, my God. And I begged her to stop the car because I knew something was following us. I wasn't certain as to what it was.
To the chase, what do you think it was?
Well, I stopped the truck when I was in West Texas because I was driving at the time, and I got out of the truck, and I faced the direction that I was coming from, which was west, turned around, faced the direction where I was going towards, which was east, and there before me stood a shimmering electrostatic, staticky, sort of like a glowing figure. And I looked down and to the left. I knew something was right before me, right in front of me. Looked down and to the left, saw an outline of what appeared to be a biomechanical suit. They had like orange. It had like no, not orange, but it had circles on it. It was shimmering and sparkling and electrostatic-y outline of a being like right in front of me, as if it had cloaking technology, almost like on Predator.
Right.
Have you ever seen Predator?
And yes, I have. Has this ever happened to you before?
When I was 14, I had the same type of experience with the sound, but my mom refused to stop the car because, for one reason or another, it was cold out or something, I don't know. But she decided to just drive home, and I didn't know what it was until 2005. I was saying to myself, oh, my God. But I held out my hand to shake its hand. I held it out there for about 15 seconds until 3 seconds later, intense fear came over me, and I just raced back to my truck. I sped off. I said to myself, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened.
Wow. Okay, this is what you need to do. You need to write out your story and email it to me. I'll send you the email link. And what is your link to your new website? Let's throw that out there before we go to a break.
Okay. It's paranormal51.com, P-A-R-A-N-O-R-M-A-L, number 5, number 1.com, paranormal51.com. And it's a really good website for specialized topics on the Ultimate Search page. We're making everything free now.
We try to
put a paywall up. We try to put up a paywall that would enable people to spend $6.95 for an entire month and get a full access to the entire site, but that wasn't functioning.
Right.
We weren't getting our word out, and we weren't providing our services. So what we really want to do is just provide our services for free and enable people to search through our database
You can always place on there a PayPal donate tab, and that's always possible for generating money for paranormal sites. And come on, people, paranormal51.com. Give them a hit. Let them know you're out there. Hang on to your hats as we delve into another shadow in the Night Zone. Returning guest, of course, Mr. David Baker, almost becoming our residential psychic medium. Good evening, David. Welcome back to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
Good evening, Colin. You know, I really love your show amongst all the shows. I always look forward to listening to it. You're kind of like the George Norrie of the radio.
George Norrie, of course, is one of my all-time idols, right after Art Bell. I believe in George Norrie's golden rule. He doesn't believe in coincidences, and neither do I. So I am certainly pleased that you are with us tonight and that you are with us whenever we can get you.
Thank you. Thank you, Colin. It's wonderful to be here, and your listeners, too. Thank you for listening and calling in.
We appreciate it. And we do have some callers up online already, yeah.
100 degrees here today in California, where we live in Marin County, and everybody's happy. Life goes on. You know how it is. Take it one day at a time and enjoy every day like it's your last, because you never know. I always thought that the laws of the universe and nature were, you know, perfect, and everything happens for a specific reason, but you never know.
David, the last time you were with us, you brought with you an upcoming medium, Sandy, originally from Manitoba, Canada. Would you make sure you pass on my regards to her and also remind her that she does owe me another show?
I'd be most happy to.
The phone lines have been opened. We do have a 408 caller already up on the line, and we will get to that in just a few seconds. I just want to talk a little bit about what you do as an umbrella of what you do, not the specifics, but you have the ability to access signals, spirits from parts unknown, correct?
That's correct. Yes. I have the ability, or my senses are amped up, so to speak. I was born with my energy, I guess you may say, custom made to do this, because that's
right.
Everybody comes here to do something, and somebody's gift might be a surgeon or a singer or an artist. Mine, I suppose, is talking to spirit, and I use certain tools to do this. I'm not always turned on like a radio. I tune my tools down, and for tonight, I open them back up. And what one of the main tools is clairvoyance, which means when I tap into the right frequency of the spirit world, just like a radio transmitter, if I'm talking to an ex-Marine, I'll be able to hear him loud and clear. If I'm talking to Aunt B, who is an introvert and, you know, spoke in a low voice, I'm really going to have to try to pull information out of her. But that's one of the ways, is clairvoyance, and claircognizance is like a download or instantaneous transfer of information, telepathy, in other words, between me and the spirits. And sometimes I get clairaudience as well, or clairsentience, which means clear hearing or clear feeling. But mainly, they show me pictures. After all, pictures are worth 1,000 words. And I'm trying to ask them information to know who they are, to make sure they're the specific person coming in for the person that I'm giving the reading for. And basically, that's how it works with mediumship.
David Baker, Psychic Medium, when we return.
The story you are about to hear is true.
And the story you are about to hear is true because it happened. As sure as I'm sitting here tonight, it happened. Bizarre. So, as David Baker interviewed, continued, we opened up the phone lines and we allowed David to do what David does.
If I read it right, the way you explained it to me, if a person is if reincarnation exists in the soul, if a soul comes back to earth to live a reincarnated life, then that soul wouldn't be available for contact, basically.
Normally, that's how it works. They're just static. Nothing there.
Yeah.
He's back here.
So that length of time could be any length of time, or it could be tomorrow. I mean, it's unknown exactly what the length would be as far as a spirit going through their time frame compared to ours, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Now, the norm probably is like 30, 50 years or something like that. You know, they need to rest. They need to get ready for the next incarnation. But there are some that have been even shorter. And I'm really amazed. I don't know if you heard about this, but it was a young boy who was only 4 years old was telling his father that he was a fighter pilot in World War II, which is about 50 years ago, I suppose. And they wrote a book about it, and they've proved that what this young child is saying, there's no way he could have known all this information. So that's just an example of somebody that we know, and scientists and researchers have looked at this and said, you know, there could be no other explanation.
The story you are about to hear is true.
The coming from different belief systems and spiritual people on corners of the earth, that this amazing information seems to be self-validating once people have done research on it, and I just don't know what to say, except I'm really happy about it.
408, we do appreciate your patience. If you would please give your first name and geographical location. We're on the air, 408.
Hi, this is Tweezin, California. Really hot. My question is, can you tell me whether there are any messages in general from my spirit guides or... Yeah, in general, if there's any messages, I should know.
You have a grandmother in spirit. She's kind of like round face and short in stature, and possibly on your mother's side. And you may feel or have felt her. So far, am I making any sense? Please feel free to interrupt me if I'm not making any proper hits on this.
I don't know about from my mom's side because my grandma's still alive. Maybe it's my great-grandma. I'm not sure. But I have a hard time opening my third eye.
Okay. Then it's got to be a great-grandmother energy. They are saying I'm getting that your gifts that you have are above average, and now is the time, and there's certain synchronicities and connections in your life that's made you aware of this, and so now is your time to start going in that particular direction of a light worker in some particular way. And it just takes a little time, and do it the right way. That's why I recommend to have a professional teach you by listening to the CD or reading a book, and that'll be really helpful for you. I went through the same thing, and it really helped me.
Would you say that that's what I'm meant to do?
You have the gift, which I see is above average, and you're getting close to a breakthrough in knowing how to access it and use it. I see, you know, the gift, and everybody has a gift to different degrees. Yours is above average, so I think you're going to do pretty good with yours once you get the ball rolling.
Okay.
That makes sense to you, caller?
Yeah, it does.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
415 caller on the line there, so we are in California. So we do know your geographical location. Your first name, if you would, please.
Hello, my name is Sherelle.
Hello, Sherelle. Good evening and welcome. I understand you are sweltering in 100 degrees heat. You have my sympathies, I think. Did you have a question for David tonight?
I did. I am, for some reason, feeling like overwhelming. You know, I have some family issues that I'm going through, and I'm feeling overwhelmed, kind of. And I've had this, like, negative, like, cloud over my head for the last few months. And I didn't know if he could, like, tell me kind of how to get rid of it and what he sees in the future for me, like if the cloud is going to pass, or is it something that I, you know, what I could do.
Sherelle, you have a lot of issues going on in your life at not your home, but at a home of family members and at your place of employment. Now, as far as the first concern is, the family issues. There's a lot going on there, and everything happens for a reason, and we all learn from it, whether it's to support or know when it's time to step back. You have to walk your path. Remember that first. You can't walk other people's paths, even though it's okay to be a support system when you have the time and the strength to do so. You have grandmothers, of course, there guiding you along and working with the family. Your grandmother, of course, I can see she's running around like crazy to all the family members trying to work out these situations.
Okay.
Now, you also have something at work. And remember, when you do something at work, you set out to do something that you need to get done. Sometimes it's blocking the road or negativity from other people. Don't ever give up, but don't let that negativity latch onto you. It won't do you any good. You be the example, be the light worker, and walk forward with a smile and let all that stuff bounce off you, because that's the only way you're going to feel better and take control of things. As far as the black cloud, just push it away. You don't need it. Yes, it exists. Yes, it does. But you don't have to deal with it. Just know it's there and be available for whenever you needed to help. But you don't have to participate in certain things that you don't want to. Does all that make sense so far?
Yes. Yeah. Is it? Can you tell if it's like the food that I'm eating or if it's, you know what I mean? Because, you know, on top of everything else, you know, when your whole life is kind of like having issues and you also have eating
food
issues.
Is your comfort zone, yes. That does have something to do with it. Food and exercise are very important. Exercise for body strength and digestion and energy moving and proper food in your body so your body feels good and it's not made heavier or dragged down, if you know what I mean. Those two things are very important. And you can't take, because I'm seeing that you're still taking a burden of other people on your shoulders.
Yes.
And don't feel obligated for that. You don't have to. There's other people involved that are working on it. Just be there for support. But don't let it bog you down, because that does not do anything. then what's going to happen is going to add another person in the pot that's going to be in that dark area, and you don't want to be there. You want to keep your strength up so you can be available to help if necessary.
Okay.
Did that make sense, Colin?
That made a lot of sense. Thank you very much, David. Thank you, Colin. Great show.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
And towards the end of the interview with David, he actually stunned me with a statement and a question, and I had no way out of it. Definitely.
Okay, this gentleman here, that's what I'm getting. And he's, I guess he came in today, I don't know, because you got the ticket or whatever, but he's been hanging around for a while and working with you on this. Was he a technical or analytical type personality?
My father, he was a genius with a grade 8 education.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Okay, that's why I suggested that. And he seemed to be a person, an ordered person. Does that make any sense?
Ladies and gentlemen, Colin Knight's getting a reading on himself. Now, this was not planned. Was it, David? We never discussed this, did we?
He just kept showing up, and I kept visual. I don't know what you look like. I've never seen a photograph of you, but I'm getting your energy, and this male was persisting for maybe an hour now, so I decided, okay, I'll go ahead and mention it. Okay, so do you want to ask him anything, or is there anything else you want me to say?
Here's a good question that would fit both of them. Why?
Before I get to that, I saw a car, so I guess they saw what you did today. Now the why, if you know that they are around, that you've been thinking about a lot of these things, and there's something in you that you have an above-average ability that you know, and maybe you don't have time to focus on it a lot, but there's signs that they're saying that they sent to you that you have acknowledged, and they're just validating it by showing up on your show today, and they also got to be on your show.
Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, this was not planned, and David had absolutely no knowledge of anything that he said tonight, but he's, spot on, David, spot on. What can I say? Where can I go with that? You got me. I'll be right back. And he did get me, an amazing talent. David will be back with us in the fall with more phone readings. So we're looking forward to that. The Night Zone then headed into the darkness of space with Mr. Ed Fleming from FindingTheTruth.com. Ed's a favorite of ours, and he always comes in with some very special, interesting news. And his recent visit to the Night Zone was no exception.
Ed Fleming, founder of Finding the Truth on UFOs, or a site that has been around for over 10 years. Thousands of members from around the world give their special information on Finding the Truth on UFOs. Doors are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Throughout the world, Ed Fleming from the FTTOUFO.com website has been following the Uzbekistan lead story and is with us to discuss it further. Good evening, Ed. Welcome back to the shadows of the Night Zone.
Hey, good evening, Colin. Good evening to everybody out in the Night Zone that's listening.
The Uzbekistan story, I tell you, Ed, You got my attention with this report.
Yes, absolutely. FTTO UFO has received a report on June 22nd of this year. Time of sighting was at 3 a.m. Narration reads as follows: a bright, even light moving slowly north to south with a tail at a 35-degree angle several minutes across sky approximately 9 o'clock high, then descended to the north as seen from Borber Park area. Person making this report later amends amend prior to read double tail, 45-degree angle, and 35-degree V-shape.
What would a double tail indicate? They would not, obviously not a comet or a meteor.
As near as I can tell with the report, that the tail was possibly coming off of the tips of the V itself.
Ah, okay. As it was heating up and as our spacecraft do when they re-enter.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what the odds of the person that made this report would be to listening to this radio show at this given point in time, but we would like to contact this individual and see about gaining some more information about that sighting.
Well, to be honest with you, when I heard the sighting and when we talked about coming to the show, Ed, I did some digging, as I'm prone to do, and the Russian language forums are just a-buzzing with this story. The research areas and the UFO buffs are arguing. They're arguing whether it's a UFO or possibly just a meteorological probe. And there's been no definitive talk yet, but you definitely have the talk of the town. It's definitely there.
Without a doubt. You know, and something strange, too. I know this is an entirely different region of the world. You know, sitting outside and just watching the sky during the evening, my wife and myself, we had been noticing very high in the sky objects moving from either north to south or south to north.
What do you think that was, what was wrong?
I couldn't tell you. All I'd see is a light moving very high up into the sky, you know, very dim. I know it's not a satellite track. I don't see any transponders on these things. And additionally, we have been noticing pulses of light, if you will. And they go on between 5 to 10 seconds pulse. I mean, they'll pulse real bright, and then they'll fade right out in a different section of the sky. They'll pulse again, fade out.
And are they coming from a certain position in the sky, or is this just random?
Well, basically, we when we do sit out there and we watch the sky, we're looking towards Ursa Minor.
Okay.
And that's essentially where we've been seeing these things.
Well, tapping into the MUFON database, are you ready for this? On the 9th of June, Auburn, Washington, 20 seconds, three lights flashing in Auburn, Washington. McKees Rock in Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, sorry. Lightened, silent, H-shaped object over McKees Rocks. L.A. Murata, California, an extremely bright, sporadically moving object seen flying, then slowly fading into the nothing before your eyes. And the hits are going on and on and on for the last 30. And Ed is with us, and we're looking at specifically the Uzbekistan sighting that's up on Ed's website tonight. Reading through the story, Ed, it's much out there yet. They haven't got to the full story, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. It is widely believed that pictures and video had been taken of the object or objects in question. Nothing, as far as I know, has surfaced yet.
I'm sure it will, and give it time. And remember, in the early 1990s, the United States Naval Observatory confirmed the orbital agitation of Pluto and various planets, calculating that a tenth planet would have to be 2 to 5 times the size of Earth and performing an elliptical orbit which extends some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto. This would be an elliptical orbit maintaining gravitational pull on our entire planetary system. So, is Planet X so far out there we can't see it? We certainly can and have measured the gravitational pull it exerts on the planetary systems, and we've known this since 1930s. Tonight, we have with us an old friend and author of Planet X Information, host of Cut to the Chase,
Marshall Masters.
Destiny comes to those who listen, and fate finds the rest. So learn what you can learn, do what you can do, and never give up hope.
Marshall Masters, next.
Marshall is with me. Are you there, Marshall?
I'm here.
Isn't that bizarre? Maybe we're touching some areas that maybe we shouldn't be talking about, but you kind of dabbled into something that I wanted to query on this last 10 minutes or so. Is the if Nibiru, Planet X, first of all, could it be inhabited? Traveling in the orbit that it is, what would that planet, that mass, be exerted to? I mean, the elliptical orbit that they talk about, 6 billion miles away from Pluto, there can't be much warmth out there.
Well, what we believe is that the planet is in orbit around a brown dwarf, and there are, this is interesting, there, of course, you're reading the Sumerian accounts and a lot of other folklore, it will tell you that, well, this is about the Anunnaki and about, and they're coming back.
Right.
You know, it's a really bizarre formula. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend's back. But
yeah.
The interesting thing is that we're working with psychics and channelers and also working with remote viewers. And what we're being told is, yes, that some are talking about one, others are saying two of the planets in this mini system. And it's a mini constellation. It's a brown dwarf with several objects. And two of them are planets capable of supporting life. And if there's enough heat energy either coming from the core of those planets and or there's heat energy coming from the brown dwarf, then life can be sustained. And, you know, it's not obviously going to be in the exact same way that the Earth is. So it's really hard for us to imagine. But, yes, I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't be inhabited.
So
we haven't gone to that in our research. Huh?
Yeah. So basically, Planet X is packing its own power source. You know, it's self-powered.
Right.
It's not so much taking power from elliptical orbit as it is self-powered unto itself by this dwarf star.
Yeah. I mean, there are some folks that believe we should reclassify Jupiter as some kind of a sun because it puts off more radiation than it receives. Those things we're going to see. And, of course, Nibiru being the planet of crossing, again, there's also the issue of that this object comes in and it's the planet actually that comes closer into the system, whereas the brown dwarf that is its sun for this planet is further out. So there's any number of things. You know, that's the reason why when we did our report, our February report, that we get into the flyby scenarios, we said, well, let's look at it in terms of it being an incredibly massive asteroid or a comet or some kind of mini constellation. So at this stage, what we're really saying, that we feel comfortable in saying, is that there's clearly a perturber out there. It's massive,
right.
And it is inbound. And
right.
You know, we are certainly going to know about this thing in some time, I believe, in the next year.
Marshall Masters and the Planet X Forecast.
John Hoag returns with an update on his work predictions 2009.
John Hoag, a kindred spirit to the Night Zone, he is the author of 15 books with over 1 million in print in 17 languages, World Authority on Nostradamus, and Prophetic Traditions of the World. John released his predictions 2009 at the beginning of the year, and we shall have a look to see how his accuracy is so far. John Hoag, HoagProphecy.com, when we return.
The time of greater spontaneity is going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
John Hoag, HoagProphecy.com, by KVM Tone. your host, Colin Knight.
John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com back with us. And John Hogue, good evening, sir. Welcome back to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
It's great to be back, Colin.
John, I hope the earthquakes in your region haven't disturbed you too much, sir, and that you are well.
Yes, I'm well. It is something I've been saying in my almanacs of prophecies each year since the last one, 2008, and also in 2009, that this side of the Ring of Fire, which has been relatively dormant compared to earthquakes that are going on in Indonesia and Japan and other places, on the western side of the Ring of Fire in the Pacific, the eastern ring, which is us, Canada and American West Coast, are definitely going to see more seismic activity. And that the big quake that happened, 6.9 quake down in the Gulf of California, which is the Rift Valley filling with the Pacific Ocean that ends up becoming the San Andreas Fault, it does, you know, I still feel that the areas down around San Diego and Los Angeles are definitely exposed to some major seismic activity. It also shows in his prophecy, more than most prophets, is different timelines. So he's one of the great prophets that show us that there is more than one future we can access. And so we, as he is talking about us living right now in the times of the third Antichrist, he's also described an astrological event that happened just this year that may imply that a person elected will take over after a ruinous war in Cancer, that is the sign of America, will bring peace on Earth for a long time. Now, that we'll have to see what that actually means, but that could imply at this moment that the election of Barack Obama may actually lead towards a different direction for the future. And that's stated by somebody who personally did not vote for him.
Right.
But as a prophecy scholar, I have to go beyond my own personal views and surrender to the vision.
Right.
And there it is.
So in 2 minutes or less, John, Al-Qaeda, where do you see the world and Al-Qaeda in the next 6 months or so?
Well, Al-Qaeda looks at Barack Obama as the greatest threat they've ever encountered. That is why they predictably responded quite viciously to his ascendancy to the presidency, which is, in a way, if one wants to take an educated guess, that's certainly something they would do if one understands that any American president who understands Islam, who's lived in moderate Islamic cultures and communities, who can speak the language of Islam in a moderate way, is definitely going to pull
the opinions
people away from extremist behavior. So I would imagine if Al-Qaeda could, they would desperately like to do something in America this year, in the second half of the year. I certainly hope that's going to be wrong. And I often think that the interaction of other potentials, that is the progressively good diplomatic work that's going on to calm down Israel so they don't attack Iran, the turmoil that's going on in Iran is also leading to something that could be potentially positive for the world. So hopefully these things, and Pakistan, Obama's crisis handled right with getting Pakistan to fight the Taliban, which is the host of Al-Qaeda in the region, maybe my prophecy about an attack on America will not happen. But if it does, it'll probably be something small-scale, low-tech, probably, you know, with people shooting up things just like they did in Bombay. I think the future of Al-Qaeda-like terrorism in the West is going to look more like what happened in Bombay, which in the prediction for 2008, I did predict would happen. Something would happen big in November.
Yeah. John, I can't believe we've blown through another hour, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Colin, for having me on. So I'm going to try to, because of the popularity of this ebook, I'm going to try to get it out for 2010, actually by the day after Thanksgiving.
Absolutely fantastic. John Hogue, HogueProphecy.com. Thank you very much, sir. You have yourself a safe night.
You too, and goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You've been absolutely fabulous. Ladies and gentlemen, John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com, and I have to tell you, one of the straightest shooters you'll ever meet on internet radio. We got to get out of here. I can't believe it. I can't believe it either. John's accuracy on issues is amazing. What we speak of today is almost a mirror of tomorrow. Check out his blog at the website, hogprophecy.com, or the link in the Night Zone page on blogtalkradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Until the next time, in between time, that's it, that's all. Another edition of the Night Zone.